Does any of that sound familiar to you? If it doesn't, I'll refresh your memory. Zach Malloy of the Nixons here with us on the Cat Podcast. Stories of Cat Past, which is a great segue into really what's going on today. It's been, 1994 that Halo came out on Rainmaker Records. How does it feel to be back at the Cat?
It's really cool. I just told someone, so I've been coming back to Oklahoma City, and today was a long day of, the Channel 4, and then we did
the press docket.
We did the junk 48.
Junket, that's right.
And here we are at the end of it, and it was funny. I was just telling someone, one of the guys that's helped me with this festival, that my last stop, I'm going to get on a plane here in a couple hours, but my last stop is one of the first stops, and I think it's really cool, man. I can't thank you enough for letting me come up here and blah blah about my little project.
We'll definitely touch on that in just a couple minutes, but the story of the Cat and the Nixons dates all the way back to the early 90s. You guys would come up here into Oklahoma City. You'd be playing around here, all the clubs, the circuit, if you will. Get up on the Cat Local Talent Show with Greg Zubek. There was one year back in 1995 that you guys played the Cat's 19th birthday party with Great White Warrant and the Toadies, which is pretty amazing. And then the late 90s happened, and then 2000s happened, and then the teens happened, and here we are 2016 going, what happened to the Nixons? Did you officially break up, or did you just kind of go your separate ways and John ended up in Seether? And
honestly, it's kind of a blur. First of all, it's good to be here. And the Nixons had a beautiful run. I have friends that will be like, you hate major labels, right? You hate MCA. And I'm like, hell no. I
mean, no.
That was a ride of a lifetime, man. I mean, that was really a lot of fun. And being with, people like the Cat and some of the people that really supported us here and down in Dallas had a lot to do with our sort of getting signed. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, the Nixons sort of just ended. And in fact, I literally have never stopped just making music. It just happened to be that the Nixons went away. I did a short-lived Zach Malloy band, which I actually loved, and some of the guys that played in it are still dear friends.
Right.
John actually played in one incarnation of that band, drums. But the whole thing happened for me becoming a songwriter when, in the course of about a six-month period, Jarrett from Bowling for Soup asked me to help finish their album, the album that Butch Walker produced that ended up being nominated for a Grammy, and Jarrett's a dear friend and has been for forever. So I finished writing that, and then I released my last solo album called Saturday's Gone, and there was a song on it that found its way into the hands of the A&R people for Daughtry.
That's cool.
So they didn't want me, but they wanted that song, and so they cut the song. And so
and you got points.
So those cuts, yeah. I mean, so those cuts sort of helped me get my first writer-publisher deal. So
that's very cool.
So again, I think about the Yellow EP, and it almost feels like a little tiny blip on that, but every one of those blips meant something.
Cool thing about listening to some of those songs was the fact that your music career didn't end with the Nixons. It's actually gone. I've gone on stronger over the past 20 years.
Here's what some people might not know. I live in Nashville.
Okay.
I moved to Nashville 6 years ago and did have a studio in Tulsa. And, it was an amazing place. I've had some great people come in. Hoobastank came in, David Cook, I wrote my first big cut was Daughtry's first album, which, that opened some doors for me like crazy.
I bet.
And so, but I made the move to Nashville, have a publishing deal there. And every day I go in and write a song.
Seriously, every day, one song pretty much.
Yeah. And so the website you're talking about, studioautomatic.com.
Yes.
I didn't know I was going to get to plug that.
We'll plug everything, Zach.
But studioautomatic.com was born out of this idea that I send my work tapes off to some drummer and he sends me tracks and then
demoing, basically.
Yeah. We put together a song. So we've made that accessible to the masses. Our first client was a 70-year-old retiree that was taking guitar lessons, bucket list, I want a song recorded. He got back this mixed, mastered, professional version of his song, and his head exploded. I mean, it's fun, for us to be able to do that for these people. So that website, has been really cool. We've actually just partnered with Guitar Center, which is
awesome. But that's just one of the irons in the fire, so to speak, and Coming up here on Thursday, April 28th through the 30th, you've partnered with ACM at UCO and the Performance Lab and the school there to do something really cool. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so this is another website I want people to check out, and for different reasons. This is more about my roots and my past, and this is called the Oklahoma Songwriters Festival. OklahomaSongwritersFestival.com. Real easy. And yeah, ACM, UCO is going to be sort of our hub. There'll be a show Thursday night at the Blue Door, and then the Saturday evening show at the Performance Lab is the one we really want people to be aware of and educate. Sort of because the festival concept is this in a nutshell. I'm bringing in a bunch of my colleagues from Nashville. Google these names and you'll be like, oh, okay, this guy won a Grammy and this guy's got 15 number one songs. But Marcus Hummon, Marcus, there it just ended. The synapses just stopped firing. Marcus Hummon, Jim Beavers, Marty Fredrickson, and myself, along with JD McPherson, who's a kind of a badass up and comer from Oklahoma, and Graham Colton. That Saturday show will be sort of a writers, storytellers type night where people can come and hear these hit songs. I'll play, a Carrie Underwood song. I'll also probably play a Skillet song that I wrote. Marty Fredrickson is one that I think your listeners will be blown away to hear. He has had a couple country songs, but he also wrote Jaded with Aerosmith. He was actually the voice of the singer of Stillwater and Almost Famous, which I think is kind of cool.
That's very cool.
But Marty was the first person I ever co-wrote with. At the end of the Nixons.
Ever?
Ever. The Nixons, we were told, we were given that line, we don't hear the single. And they flew me to LA, and the first person I wrote with was Marty Fredrickson. Here I am with him, and we marvel at this. As, dude, you're flying me home to your home state for a festival, So so anyway,
really cool.
The Saturday event is, it's a one-of-a-kind event. I promise you, you will walk away, even if you're not a fan of all the songs you hear, just to hear the stories and how I'll also say that Carrie, walked into our writing session and dropped her bag and said, full disclosure, one of my first concerts was Kane's Ballroom, the Nixons.
No kidding.
So it's really cool see some of those things come back around. And the Saturday event, I promise, is going to be a great thing. We're also going to do songwriting. So some...
Actually write songs.
Yeah, during the days. And this is a part that's sort of, behind the scenes. It's not... We're not going to have the public come and spectator sport watching us.
Right, right.
But I wanted to bring some of these guys in, have them write with some people like Graham Colton, Chad Copeland, Kirsten White, some other... songwriters from Oklahoma, maybe we can get a cut, maybe we can get a song performed by a major label artist. And then this little festival, that's just a couple little events and some intimate gatherings, the panels on Saturday morning, this is all on the site. The panels on Saturday morning are going to be really, really highly informative. We'll all tell our stories, and I would encourage people to check it out. If you have an iota of songwriting in you, or you just are one of those people that like to hear the story, how'd that happen, who wrote that,
the impetus to Sister or what have you,
exactly,
right?
And then and so the final bit of the Saturday evening is that my old friend Jesse Davis and John Humphrey from the Nixons are going to jump up on stage, and we're going to sing a couple Nixon songs to close out the show.
Acoustically or full?
Acoustically, this is not the smashing guitars like the Stage on Fire Nixons. I do want to get that out there. But it is, to me, very exciting to just say, I'm going to be back up on the stage with a couple of my boys again, and we'll sing a couple Nixon songs.
That's really cool. Is it going to have the aura of the T-Bar on Western, like a Nixon show at the T-Bar back in the day?
Dude, I don't remember the aura of the T-Bar.
You don't?
It's just a haze somewhere off in the distance.
It was a long time ago.
It was good. Good stuff.
Well, it's good to have you here in the Cat Studios, and it's been a long time, to say the least. I think the cool thing about all of this is how the story of the Cat and the Nixons comes full circle to where we're at right now, to square one, and that's back to the Nixons, and a impromptu gathering, if you will.
The funny thing is that this festival was a real easy way for me to just say,
you can do this,
John,
get
Jesse,
together.
Come,
yeah.
Get your asses up here and we'll sing. Getting the band back together is, and
you laugh.
We talk about it all the time.
I know, right?
Once a year we get an invite to, hey, come play, this Blah Fest in Dallas or Austin or St. Louis, whatever. And John, you know, my writing schedule and production schedule is pretty steady. And then John is in a rock band that maybe they're still the hardest working. I mean, they are.
They play everywhere all the time, nonstop.
Worldwide. I mean,
all over the world.
Because
yeah.
of the connection back to South Africa and everything. And I tell people repeatedly, man, I couldn't be more proud of John. I mean, he is a drummer, right? That's in his blood.
Yep.
And to see that he still gets to do it.
Oh, yeah.
To see videos of his kid.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really, really...
Last summer at the zoo, yeah. He got up and played. Yeah,
it's absolutely. Just a beautiful thing. And again, doing some sort of reissue, we've talked about 10 times. Doing a reunion tour, we've talked about 10 times. But we'll start with a couple songs, acoustic, down in Bricktown.
Will you do something for me off the Red album? Just the self-titled, maybe, December? I love that song.
I love that song, too.
That's a great song, man. That whole album was great. Baton Rouge... It was a really good album, man.
It was cool. I mean, we're another. I'm sorry to sound like Uncle Zach telling stories, but it's kind of cool. The Carrie story I told you, Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
So the Daughtry story. It's interesting that you talk about December because this is random, but this is what sparked it. My career. You know, we did great. We had a gold album and had a couple hits and toured with Kiss and Radiohead for God's sakes.
Right.
You know, we didn't become U2, but I don't care because we had a great run and I get to do what I really love doing now, which is continue to make music writing. But the story is that, so I got that Daughtry cut, hadn't met him. That's how it works in the business.
Right.
It's
yeah.
weird. Like people think that
they just hear it and it's through a manager or whatever.
Yeah. So I finally go to New York for the release party. So it's the VIPs and Clive Davis is there and he beelines it to me right after he performs a short little set. He grabs me and takes me aside and he goes, dude, I love the song Used To that he cut on his album. And he goes, dude, I have to tell you a story. Well, I was 14 and I snuck backstage at a Nixon show, at a festival in Virginia Beach or somewhere. And I waited in line. I got your autograph. I said, I'm a singer. I'm thinking of taking vocal coach lessons or whatever. Should I do it?
And he asked you.
He asks me this, and I didn't remember it.
Right. Yeah.
But
were you nice to him?
But I told him, do it as long as they don't take away what makes you as a singer.
Cool.
Right? Sounds like great advice. I guess.
Right.
Said it. Chris said it. But it was awesome because he just said, dude, that meant something to me.
And yeah, so, absolutely.
This is sort of, hell, we could talk all night now, but my point is this is that, that I got that cut on that Daughtry album that, kind of opened a million doors, including American Idol. I mean, I worked with Carrie Underwood, managed by the same management as Daughtry. So, I'm going to be wise old guy, but man, you got to be cool to all those people that you meet out there and coming up because you'll see them, back.
That's right.
Down.
And it's not always who you know, it's who you don't really, networking and each little thing like that opens a whole new set of doors and stuff. What a great story, Zach Malloy. On the 30th of April, catch the semi-formal acoustic Nixon's reunion, if that's okay, right? Can we bill it as that?
You can absolutely. I mean, it's going to be a really beautiful event with a lot of great music, and again, it'll be fun to cap it off.
That and this is the inaugural year of the Oklahoma Songwriters Festival, so we can expect this again next year?
I mean, hell yeah, I hope so. I mean, I hope people get out. They come and the sort of residual byproduct that I hope happens, and I think it will, is that these Nashville dudes that haven't really heard about Oklahoma City or don't know, they just know the Thunder or whatever. We're going to do a great dinner for them one night in a cool little place down in that Art Deco kind of place off the edge of downtown. And we're going to do, cater in some amazing local food and swag them up with Oklahoma City stuff. I want them to leave and be like, oh, I didn't know that about Oklahoma City. I didn't know that about, I know that Garth is from there.
Right.
And Woody,
Vince Gill.
Woody Guthrie and Vince
Reba.
Gill. Reba. But I didn't know that there was that killer little place, ACM. There's great studios there. Graham Colton's studio is going to be part of it, and his studio is really cool too. And I want them to leave. And then, next year be like, when are we flying to Oklahoma City? Along with then say we double, we bring more riders, and maybe we've talked about maybe bringing in some from the West Coast that I've worked with on some of the rock albums. And I can imagine it being you know, somewhere down the line on a Friday night, you got choices. You can go to see Americana Night or
Rock. I was just thinking that country, you like, you know, the US Festival in 1982, you have your heavy metal night, and then the night before is the alternative British night. Whatever.
Dude, I would love for it to grow into something big, because truly, and not to sound cliche, but there's really not a better state to have a songwriter's event at, if you think about it.
I agree.
People that have come from here. So
I agree. Very good. Zach Malloy. Good stuff, brother. Great catching up with you. And it just, it feels really, really cool to have you back at the Cat, man, after all these minutes, man. It's an honor to have you here. And we're definitely going to see you out there at the ACM at UCO Performance Lab on the 30th. And you want to throw out a couple more? You have any websites or anywhere you want people to look for you at or connect with you online, social media and all that?
You know, honestly, it's easy. It's at Zach Malloy on Twitter. But just go to the festival site. I promise you, you'll go to it and you'll at least be intrigued to come to something. You know, if you got a kid that's into songwriting and you don't know how the hell to get them, you know, send them to the panels. Cause the other cool thing is that we have VIP tickets where after the show, you can meet the songwriters.
Oh, that's cool.
We want to give Oklahoma access to these amazing people that we're bringing in.
So I can meet Marty if I want to?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Awesome.
You should meet Marty.
I do want to meet him. And I love that Aerosmith song, Jaded. I always thought that was a really cool Aerosmith track.
Yeah, he did another big smash hit for Gavin Rossdale. It was his big solo hit, Love, I think Love Remains or something like that.
Cool, brother. It's OklahomaSongwritersFestival.com.
Yes.
Zach, pleasure to have you back at the Cat,
great,
man.
Great to be here.
Stories of Cat past and Oklahoma past. I love it.
Right on.